Hey, this is Photography in Society, the podcast by the Master Program under the same name at the Royal Academy of the Art in The Hague.
What does it mean to do research as a visual maker?
In what ways can research be conducted?
How can making things guide thinking processes and vice versa? These are some of the guiding questions behind Unstill, the season of our podcast focusing on the research processes and works of the graduates of 2023.
Disciplines landscape, labor, power mechanisms, grid, meeting rooms, Porter model, signing, a representation. My name is Jonathan Tang, he, him. I'm a Cantonese Dutch visual artist and I have a background in architecture. I was trained as an architect. For my media, I like to use sculptures, photographs and archival material, but I always use it not as a final outcome but as elements in the work. I use my iPad to make drawings and sketches, so I would say that the media and the techniques I use are an interplay of these different components. And I'm working with the themes discipline, power and the landscape. My project is the discipline within the Dutch Porter model. And a Dutch Porter model is a method of consensus decision making, but it's also centuries old tradition that is used and actually maintained to create the Dutch landscape, which we call Porter. This research trajectory started when I started to reflect on what I actually did during my background as an architect. And I think that I realized that I once contributed to an image, because the Netherlands is an image that actually shouldn't exist because we're below sea level, but it still does somehow. And I started to think, first of all, yeah, why are we living below sea level? I find it so absurd. But I also realized that I took part in this process by designing buildings and designing a reality of others. So I became interested in the discipline or the drive people have to maintain this landscape. After realizing that, I tried to find the words or actually the methods that are being used to maintain this standard. And that's how I eventually came to the Porter model, because there was this connection with the landscape, but also with how we as Dutch people, because I'm Dutch, present ourselves to the rest of the world. And in my previous projects, I have always been working with the topic of discipline. In one project, I wrote out Chinese characters. In this notebook I used when I was still a child and went to Chinese school on every Saturday. And I think my parents disciplined me to, not experience the same toil as they did when they came as migrants to the Netherlands and had to work from like very long days simply because there was no alternative for them. So I wrote out Ren, which is human being in Chinese, in these notebooks. And I basically disciplined myself again after so many years. And another project I did, I worked with boxes I could find in the toko. It's an exotic grocery store of my parents. And I basically reproduced the process of the boxes. And the end result was a composition of boxes, but then without the actual labor visible, without myself and my parents in there. I'm also trying to tackle invisibility or underrepresentation in my project. My project consists of three parts. In the first part, I am drawing over existing Dutch landscape photos, because during a trip in the polders, I realized that the Dutch equivalent of hopelessness is viewlessness. So this whole notion of having the ability to see, like overview a landscape, is so intrinsic in how the Dutch perceive themselves and also perceive the world. I'm drawing over Dutch landscape photos of photographers that are part of the exhibition Nature as Artifice in 2008. And it was a traveling exhibition, which was curated by Tracy Metz, which focused on the man-altered landscape. What's interesting about Nature as Artifice is that it has also very interesting similarities with the new topographics from the US, in which they also focused on how the landscape is shaped by humans. The second part is a collage in which I visited the meeting rooms in which the negotiations between the capital, labor, and the state are still taking place in The Hague. It's actually 1 kilometer from the KBK. And the last part is an audio-visual installation of the original footage of the installation derives from a signing, which is called the Eckert of Wassenaar in 1982. And this signing is often used as an illustration of the Paul de Model. And in this video, I focus on the hand gestures of the signatories. So those are the three components and three parts of my project. I focus mainly on the hand gestures of this signing because I realized those were not hands. If you look at the final result of the video, you could see hands of politicians, white hands of powerful men. If I look at my own hands now, they're not as powerful as theirs. What I find interesting about these hands is that these hands are also the hands that shape or are still shaping the Dutch landscape. But at the same time, I feel that my hands, coming from an architectural background, I'm left hand, by the way, my hands are completely different, even though most of us have two hands. So in that sense, I try to communicate through focusing on the hand gestures, the impact our hands could have. Some use pen to sign an Eckert, to formalize a tradition, while others, for example, my parents, they use it to transport boxes or type in the price on their casa. And in my case, I would say that my hands are there to create work or create photographs, to tackle the difference in power. The hopelessness I'm talking about is mostly the fact that I, as an individual who grew up in this image, look around me and realize how artificial the Dutch landscape is. And I feel that as a person growing up here, you never realize that everything that's green is not per se nature. And for me, I find it so absurd that I live in a landscape in which everything is artificial and it feels like I'm this part of this game or a simulation that's like never ending. But at the same time, I'm not really part of this game because I'm not the person who have a exact say in how this landscape should be reshaped. And it's also the fact that if you think about it, how the sea levels keep rising, it feels like there's no going back because they once made this decision to go in this direction. So that's what I'm trying to communicate with hopelessness. The Dutch equivalent of hopelessness, it's uitzichtloosheid. Uitzicht is in English view. So uitzichtloosheid would then be literally translated into viewlessness. If you think about viewlessness, then I picture a photograph or just a view where you could only see the horizon and the sky and the sea. And that's basically the result of when the Netherlands is flooded. The Polder model is a method of consensus decision making, which is now being used in Dutch politics, but also in negotiations between trade unions, labor unions, and the government to come to a consensus, to come to a solution in any conflict whatsoever. But this whole method derives from the polders, and the polders are basically the Dutch landscape because we're now below sea level. But the polders is a method or a technique to reclaim land. And the result of it, we call the polders. And this polder making is centuries old. It actually started in the Middle Ages. And in my project, I try to connect this tradition of landscape making with this method, which is now still being used. What makes it so special is the fact that back in the days, all the different actors in the landscape were dependent on each other, because if they couldn't rely on each other, basically the whole landscape flooded. What's interesting about this topic is the fact that still, like nowadays, the different parties in the government, or if you're a laborer or an employer, this notion is still visible. So instead of coming to a clear solution, you could really feel that in the Dutch national character, they're always trying to seek a consensus in which every party is satisfied. And not completely satisfied, but still, there's always a middle ground. So that's what makes the Dutch pot model so specific compared to any other method that's being used in other countries. In the 80s, there was a huge economic crisis here in the Netherlands, but also in other parts of Western Europe, as a result of the oil crisis. So there was a huge unemployment rate here in the Netherlands. Representative of the labor union, so that's Wim Kok, he met with Chris van Veen, who is the employer's representative, and it basically drew up an accord in which they agreed that every party had to work together, and in which they stimulated people to work less so there would be more jobs for others to take. And this whole process is actually the consensus decision making I'm talking about. But then later in 95, they named this whole process the Polder Model. And that's therefore why it's being used as an illustration of this model. And the signing took place in November 24 in 1982 here in The Hague. The process of the drawing actually started when I was looking at archival images of the water flood in 1953, in which 1,836 people died in Zeeland. So it's the southern province of the Netherlands. And in those photographs, those were aerial photographs that were taken in a helicopter. In those photographs, I saw water, like mostly water. But what was interesting was that the houses were still visible, like were not fully flooded in the photographs. And in those photographs, I could still see a grid, like a very structured grid the original neighborhood was built on. And I wanted to reveal that grid, so I started to draw over this grid. So that's how it actually started. And then I also read some different books, also by Svetlana Oppers, who is an American art historian. And she basically described how in Dutch landscape paintings, you could see how the Dutch in that time saw the world. So Dutch landscape paintings, there's a very interesting connection with maps. And as I mentioned before, I realized that the Dutch equivalent of hopelessness is viewlessness. So that's why I started to also realize that the perspective lines in landscape paintings or in any photograph are the same as the grid lines I'm talking about to lay out this structure to polder the landscape. As a research method, I always like to first enter the field. So for example, to find the footage of the signing, I went to Institute for Sound and Vision in Hilversum, and I went to their customer service and I typed in Eckert of Wassenaar, and after a few clicks, I found the footage. But I also went to the Royal Library here in The Hague to see what comes up. But in my case, it always also helps me to enter the environment I'm talking about and actually feel what happens. But also during those visits, I enjoy talking to people and sharing why I'm there with a camera. And at some point, I like to just take photographs, and not with the intention to use it as my final outcome, because I wouldn't present myself as a photographer. I would rather say I'm a visual artist. But it helps to make it understandable for people that are not familiar with art or photography what you're doing. So by showing that you have a camera and that you're taking photos, they also feel in a way more visible with that as a tool and a medium. So I went back to the meeting room in which the signing took place, and I reached them first out via a contact form on their website. But then later I met a woman who is working for the Labour Foundation, and I showed her the original footage. What I found interesting was the fact that she had never seen this footage, but also that she recognized people that were in the actual footage. And that's something I didn't anticipate at all, because the signing took already place like 40 years ago. I asked her, oh, are these people still around? She said, yeah, most of them already passed away, but this person is still alive. And then eventually I reached out to him via email, and he was quite generous in explaining and sharing his thoughts on the topic and also the actual signing. So that was really cool to create this bridge over time, which I didn't expect in the first place. Biggest challenge for me in this process was the fact that I sometimes forget my own positioning in the project. I come from a architecture background in which we present the final outcome, the product, as a solution to an issue. And I feel that in photography or in the arts, that doesn't have to be the case. But I feel that in this whole process, I learned to be able to communicate my own position as a individual in the project, and that my interest doesn't come out of the blue, but it is so intrinsic into how I grew up and me as a being. My plan now is to continue making drawings. So far, I made 100 of them, but I'm planning to make 4,000 of them. So it's going to become a long-term project. But the reason why I want to make 4,000 of them is because there are 4,000 polders in the Dutch landscape. So each polder is an image. And what would be valuable for me is to always bring these drawings to the people I meet in this journey, and just to show them and also ask them if they have any comments or anything they want to share with me on the topic, so I could write it down and hope that people react to each other in these prints I'm making. Ideally, I would also, you know, return some of the photographs or some of the collages to the meeting rooms which I already visited. I would say the conclusion of my work is that I'm trying to grasp a tradition or a notion or a character in a tradition that is very visible, but at the same time it's in a way not, because it's so intrinsic in how Dutch people are. The conclusion is that it's very difficult to grasp it, but that's also what I'm trying to do. So this never-ending journey of Dutch identity is my conclusion.
Thank you for listening to Unstill, a season of Photography and Society, the podcast by the master program under the same name at the Royal Academy of the Art, The Hague.
If you are curious to hear more about the research processes of the graduating students of 2023, listen to the remaining episodes from this season.
This season was designed and produced by Sophie Allerding
and Emilia Martin.